This is North Shore Today. It's Monday, February 8th. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. And we've got wind and snow on the way for this Monday. Rick, I don't know where to begin here, but we got the big snowstorm. This is two storms in a row, Friday and Monday, where we started the day without a flake in the air, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in our area. And they called schools, which reminds me, remember, I had a conversation with Ed Bell, the news director, former news director at WHDH and WBZ Radio. And he was he worked with Don Kent. Now, they did not have the science that they had today, granted that, But can you imagine, I don't think that would have happened years ago, that they would have canceled schools. I could be wrong on this, without a flake in the air. You know what I'm saying? For hours,
We had several times in my teaching career, certainly as late as the 90s and the early 2000s, when you'd go to school, and actually it was the reverse. Bad weather was forecast coming soon. Nobody cared. You went to school and you came home with 7, 8, 9, 10 inches of snow on the road, and it was really hazardous, and people were being criticized for that. So it was the exact opposite then. With the forecasting, I mean, they were right on Friday. That was the right thing to do.
Yeah, and they're apparently going to be right on again here today. This is a pretty big storm, a lot of wind and coastal concerns in this one as well. Most people got Friday off, and now they get Monday off, and so on. So, big wind and snow, and I guess up in our area, it's going to be a lighter snow than Friday's storm. That was the classic old wet snow, pasty wet snow stuff that, We don't really want that. So
we had a lot of tree limbs and trees that fell in the area. I live in West Gloucester, and a lot of them fell down. It was fortunately they weren't near any telephone poles or telephone wires and so on, so we didn't lose power. But hopefully this one will be a little bit lighter and a little bit easier to move around.
Yeah, but I think it could be a little tricky later on in the day. So here we are. We're on Monday now. Yesterday was the Super Bowl, and. I actually now am feeling better about the Patriots' loss to Denver after watching that defense destroy Carolina yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Agreed. And then in the second half, I mean, they just crushed them. And, Cam Newton, I stayed up for the game. I didn't stay up for the post-game press conferences, but I just saw a clip of Carolina quarterback Cam Newton this morning on the news, and he is totally devastated. And yet, what happened to him is what happened to Tom Brady 2 weeks ago against this Denver defense. But
think about it. Think about that last drive that Brady had when 12 seconds left, he got the touchdown there within 2 points. I mean, that's how close they got. But you are correct, Bill. That was one smothering defense. And, DeMarcus Ware and the MVP, who's the MVP? Why can I never think of his name? I guess it's because I want to blot it out. Number 58, but just tremendous, absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, and so, and when you look at the I'm looking at some of the coverage today, and you just think what it could have been for the Patriots and Brady, the fanfare, the pageantry of Super Bowl 50 to be in that game, and I think they got to be saying, oh, geez, so close, but yet, so far away. But, and what's funny is that going into that Denver game for the Patriots, Rick, there were a lot of our experts saying, we're better off playing Denver. That's the team to be playing in the playoffs. So, I know.
Well, but that shows to go, yeah, if you can say, come on. We've talked about this many times about sports talk radio in Boston, and it never ceases to amaze me how some of the so-called experts who end up in the host's chair really don't know a lot about sports, but they know how to stir the pot, and that's what they did. And, I agree with you. I feel better about the Patriots game in that they came within two, had a chance to tie it. Von Miller, who I was thinking of, and Von Miller is just a destroyer, and they were – I mean, Peyton Manning, I think you probably could have put anybody in at quarterback yesterday for Denver, and the defense was going to win that game.
Correct, right. So the difference wasn't Manning for sure, but obviously he goes out and in a big way, and good for him, But what a salute to that defense. I'm not gonna go. I was thinking of relating it to something else, but I won't. So I'm gonna move on. Go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry.
Super Sunday is It has become almost a national holiday, and I saw a lot of. I had to go deliver some food to some elderly people yesterday evening, just before the game. I, excuse me, I saw a lot of cars in the neighborhood.
Who was that? The Kearns family? Where? Who were you delivering food to?
Well, oh my!
no,
that was Bill Newell, Tim.
Oh my gosh! I'm sorry.
But on the way, so I had to go drive about 3 miles, and a lot of Super Bowl parties between here and there. So it's become sort of a get together, a holiday, a party type day, and I was certainly not impressed at all with the telecast. I thought I must say, Jim Nantz giving credit where credit was due to Phil Simms was an eye opener last night, and because Simms, I don't think they work well together. I really don't. But I think the funny part is with Phil, I don't know where I'm going off in this, but I want to. I don't like Phil Simms as an analyst, but if you listen to him during the week on his programs, he's tremendous. He's very insightful and very articulate. Broadcasting a game, not so much. But Nantz did give him credit for calling a score in the Patriots game and calling a score in the Denver game. But I digress. The thing I wanted to mention, Bill, was I like to watch football. I don't care about the pageantry. I don't care about the halftime show. I certainly don't care about the 10 hours of pregame. Didn't see 1 minute of it. But I did watch the commercials, and I thought, all in all, they were absolutely horrific. They were horrible.
Okay. Now, that's the Rick Marr I come to know. And I was going to say like, but I better not. But that's the old Rick Marr. There he goes. Okay. Thanks for bringing us down, Rick, on this Monday. We got a snowstorm. We're going to be shoveling like 10 inches of snow. And thanks for bringing us down. You didn't like the hot. You didn't like the ones with the hot dogs. Now that's kind of a sick commercial, by the way. The one. With
no,
the hot
my
dogs.
My wife was saying, you know, you put those. I think it was all CGI. But why would they make those little dogs wear those costumes and run? And I as I said, I think it was CGI. The other one was they had some kind of a monster. It was a monkey. I think a monkey puppy baby or something or other. I have no idea what they were hawking, but it was just absolutely gross. On the other hand, okay, if that brought you down, I thought the reason I watched the game is to watch football, and that was a tremendous Super Bowl football game. And when you consider where Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers have been all season, and all the talk about Denver, you know, Peyton Manning is over the hill and blah, blah, blah. What a game. Gary Kubiak and Wade Phillips. You've got to give those guys all the credit in the world. That was a tremendous game.
Yeah, they were saying on the telecast that Wade Phillips, their defensive coordinator, was got the job last year, and they had hired what 21 or 31 other defensive coordinators or whatever. 21,
yeah.
and then he gets hired and he does this. I don't know what it is. I follow the NFL. You know, I try to follow the Patriots, the other teams nowadays. I just can't follow them all. I'm not the NFL insider at all. But I'm just saying, I would read up on what this defense has done and the prototype players that they have now. Maybe I'm thinking that maybe they've just put in different types of players in the defense that other teams never thought about doing, and that's why they're so successful. But these guys are insane, and they go to the ball. So now we're back on the defense, but that's fine.
No, slow news day, as they say. Aqib Talib was killing them in the first half with his penalties, but that's the swagger that they play with. And to plant Cam Newton like they did, I mean, Newton is 6'5 or 6'6, 255 pounds, and they planted the kid. He was cooked at the end of the game.
Yeah. Well, and he was pretty distraught emotionally after the game, too, from what I saw on that one clip I saw this morning from the press conference. They destroyed him physically and mentally, I think, in that game.
One final thought, Bill. Von Miller's contract is up, and he's up for renewal. So, you know, I can't wait to hear all the scuttlebutt on local talk radio about that.
Well, that was the Super Bowl Sunday. Great game, and I think per the NFL gods, they ordered a snowstorm for all of our fans in our area so they can take the day off today and have a good time. So, other news, there's not a ton of news today, but there's a story in today's item, front page story in the item by Bridget Turcotte. And you remember the story in the fall where the superintendent of Saugus Public Schools resigned just about at the beginning of the school year to take a job. I believe it was some kind of special ed school somewhere or other down or a group down west of the city. And Matthew Malone came in as interim superintendent for Saugus, and he is formerly from Swampscott, formerly of Brockton, and formerly Commissioner of Education for the state under DeVal Patrick. But on Friday, he stepped down. And so they have a little story on that. So now Saugus is again, and it was a mutual agreement apparently with the school committee and Malone and the attorney for the school department. But he's gone. So, I mean, there's not more to say, much more to say about it. But Malone, very much a public figure, I think, with the work he did in Swampscott, Brockton, and then with the state. But came in briefly in Saugus, and now he's gone, and immediately gone.
Well, you know, there are some retired superintendents out there who make a living now by going in as interim superintendents. So maybe they'll hook up with one of them. And I actually know a retired administrator who lives in Nahant, might be up for the job. I don't know. Just checking very quickly, Bill, a couple of quick stories over the weekend in Gloucester. There was a story on actually, it's in the Gloucester Times. It was in most of the papers about the Good Samaritan law that the legislature is trying to expand on the Good Samaritan law. And I think that's a good thing. I know that I had an experience many years ago where I was sort of nervous about helping someone in an emergency situation. I did. It didn't turn out well, and I was very nervous. But the Good Samaritan law protects those who try to help out in accidents and tragic situations and things like that. So I was glad to see that. And also in Gloucester, the opponents of a project that is on the drawing boards for back to the back shore, the Gloucester's famous back shore, to build four housing units. There are a bunch of neighborhood opponents for that who want to keep the shoreline as it is. They have actually hired a high-powered Boston attorney to state their case when it comes time to present their case, I guess, at City Hall. So that's still up in the air right now. The owner of the lot wants to build four houses on the rocks on the back shore.
Right. Do you have any other news, Rick? Because I was going to switch to some other sports, local sports topics here.
Let's go with sports.
All right. There's a story here in the item, with the postponements, as you know, the games on Friday, most of them got postponed due to the snowstorm, if not all of them. And one of those games was a girls' basketball game between Revere and Lynn Classical. And we are planning to do the video streamography of the Revere-St. Mary's game tomorrow night from St. Mary's, two of the top teams in girls' basketball on the North Shore. However, on Saturday, Lynn Classical played host to Revere and won. I think it was just the second loss of the year for Revere, but congratulations to Coach Tom Sawyer and his girls for knocking off Revere 68-50, and that's kind of a surprise. I mean, for Classical, it's their 12th win of the year, so they've had a good season, and they had some ups and downs. They didn't win every game, but I don't think that was kind of a surprise, and so congratulations again to the Classical girls basketball team for that win on Saturday.
Yeah, and Gloucester hockey won the NEC South. Lynn Jets went up to the Talbot at O'Malley Rink in Gloucester on Saturday. Tough game. It ended up 2-1, another one-goal game. Lynn won the first one 1-0, and freshman Robbie Horn got both goals for Gloucester. So they win the Northeastern Conference South title. We have to see what's on the schedule coming up, but I know that we'll be doing some more games before the tournament comes around.
And we're going to we were at the Wakefield game yesterday afternoon, a game postponed Friday night as well. That was going to be a live video streaming game. We couldn't do the live video streaming on Sunday due to some scheduling issues, but we did the game, and it turned out to be a great game. We actually are going to put up a post with one of our interviews with post-game interviews with Brad Simpson, the boys basketball coach at Wakefield High School, on this post here, but it's also on the post that we did on the game yesterday as well. But in that game, Wakefield won in overtime 72-69. And Rick, I got it. This was one of the strangest basketball games ever. I mean, I've seen some unusual things this year. And we've talked about it on this program, maybe just a couple of unusual things. But this game had everything. I kind of likened it to driving on a dark country road, a winding country road, where you never know what's up coming around the corner. because this game had lead changes, it had streaks. I mean, and if you look at the stats from period to period, it didn't look that impressive. But within those periods, crazy things were happening. And it really appeared that Wakefield was going to lose this game in overtime because their top player, well, maybe not, I shouldn't say their top player, but their tallest player, Andrew Auld, fouls out just into the overtime after Stoneham scores five straight points to take a five-point lead to begin overtime. And he fouls out, and it looks pretty bleak. But then they come back, and they end up winning the game in overtime. And what's interesting, Stoneham then has three players foul out. They had a bunch of fouls themselves in overtime. And there was just this back and forth. It was a crazy game, very good game, good crowd on hand in Wakefield, and it was just a great high school basketball game. It's the kind of game you and I know. We've covered Northeastern Conference games for years, but I've always had a lot of respect for Middlesex League basketball, and this was a classic. And these are the couple of top teams in their South Division, so to speak, their Freedom Division, the smaller schools. But anyways, Wakefield had already qualified for the tournament, and Stoneham still trying to qualify for the tournament, but they've had a very good year this year.
Yeah, and that's all available on demand. It's right there on the website, so take a listen in. And if you don't have the time to listen to the whole game, just go ahead and fast forward and listen to what Bill's talking about. Listen to the last stuff, to the fourth quarter, the overtime. Should be fun.
Yeah, and so anyways, that's what we have. That's what we did. That was what we did yesterday. So it was kind of a nice day. It was a great day over there at Wakefield High School. And Stoneham versus Wakefield, and that one went to Wakefield. Melrose actually defeated Melrose defeated Wakefield earlier at Melrose this year by 2 points. So they kind of split the season series. And earlier in the game, they had that girls-boys doubleheader. I like those games. It's kind of a nice thing to do once in a while for schools. They had the girls playing beforehand, and the Melrose girls won, and that means they are into the state tournament. So this is an exciting time of year for many schools when they have that one game that, boom, right now puts them into the tournament. And with that 50% rule, a lot of teams do get into the postseason. And so the Stoneham girls are in.
Sounds good. Not sure about North Shore Sports Night on Monday night. Don't know yet. I think it's up in the air due to the weather. So, just check out the website from time to time.
Oh, no. Okay. All right, so I guess that'll do it for us for today, correct?
I'm all set, Bill. Yep.
Yeah, if you want to know the school closings, just follow the scroll down below here. No, but so we'll see what we do. We'll keep the storm, but do be safe, be careful. This one does appear to be a coastal kind of a storm to really be concerned with, and with the high tides at around 11 or midday today, do watch out for that, because I did notice, Rick, that they the state, and I don't notice this in a lot of situations, is that they did close down the coastal routes like Lynn Shore Drive. There's no parking there, but I don't know if they're actually going to shut that road down. But they do it they've done it before, very rarely, but that's when the water comes crashing over the seawall. And it appears that with this wind that we're getting, the way I saw the forecast, that it is coming directly in. And so those coastal concerns do appear to be for real in this storm. But the South Shore is getting the worst of this one with the snow and the wind and so on. But I got to think, Rick, with our coastal concerns that we'll get hit. Folks better watch out on this one today.
Yeah, and as I said before, too bad all this stuff isn't, the snow isn't up country where it should be, up in ski country.
I know. And right up the road there, the presidential primary candidates are swinging through the state, kind of unbothered by this snow.
Hey,
they're just getting the light snow.
We didn't talk about the debate. I did watch it on Saturday, and I talked. Who did I talk to? I talked to somebody yesterday morning at breakfast, and she's a PhD, and she said the first things out of her mouth was it was like watching Saturday Night Live. And I thought the same thing when I saw this. I thought, how can these people be so stupid? Oh my God! And I think if I were undecided, I'd scratch three of them off the list right away on the performance on Saturday night.
I'm gonna weigh in on this, and I really wasn't going to do this, but I was surprised at the response that people have given that debate and this Rubio Christie dust up. You watched that piece, right?
Absolutely.
Now I have a take on it that I think Christie comes off as being just a complete bully.
And absolutely.
I think in substance, I looked at him as being a bully, acting like a jerk, and really not making a point here. Because Yeah, Rubio repeats things. That's what he does. That's what all the candidates do. But on the other hand, you know, there's two different philosophies here. That on the Republican side is that Obama either is incompetent or he's doing, you know, what Rubio says is that Obamacare was not an accident. And, I just don't see that Christie scored any really debate points on this. He scored bully points. And I'm really surprised at the Post's reaction to that piece is how I don't think Christie helps himself in this. I don't know what happens. And Christie's desperate. He's way down in the polls down there. He's at 6%. There's Trump. There's these middle guys, which included Rubio and a bunch of others. And then there's Christie and Fiorina and Dr. Carson down there. You know, actually, you know, talking about the debate, the most devastating thing to me, I thought, was Ben Carson's, when he was asked about Cruz's conduct, his campaign conduct in Iowa, and the stuff, Carson is so understated in what he says, but the very few words he chose, I thought, sliced right through Cruz and exposed him, you know, and his campaign for what they did in Iowa.
Not only that, but if you see the follow-up, you'll see that CNN blasted Cruz for lying through his teeth about how that whole thing transpired. CNN just tore him apart yesterday, and this was, you know, on Sunday. And, yeah, I agree with you. Dr. Carson was very, very understated, as you said, but if you just listen to his words, absolutely devastating. And as I said to me, I mean, yeah, Christie, I agree with that assessment. I think Rubio was completely ineffective and totally out of his element, like the deer in the headlights. And Trump came across as a bully who just all he could do was just repeat his insults. It was, you know, the trouble is, Bill, is I remember watching Adlai Stevenson in debates back in the 50s and John F. Kennedy and how articulate these guys were. And they spoke to issues as well as things that were emotional. But they did it in a gentlemanly way. That you could, sort of like Dr. Carson, you can attack people, but you can do it politely. And I three of them, I just scratched them off my list, and those are the three top front runners.
You know, I was really torn. I it seems to me that the questions where you take here's another point. We're going into the debate here, but when I actually, you know, I wonder. You know, we talked about, is this a debate or a job interview, or is this a sideshow? Is this like a Saturday Night Live skit or whatever? What have it's turned into? I actually thought the questions that were asked were okay questions, because I thought that the Iowa thing with Cruz needed to be discussed, and I think people in New Hampshire need to know about it. I also think that, what was the other thing I was just thinking of? Is that the questions were okay, and that, you know, I really thought that actually Jeb Bush, I thought, actually had a pretty good debate. I think the eminent domain thing with Trump, I think he won that exchange with Trump, and I think that Trump is kind of learning that he's got to tone it down a little bit if he's going to act presidential. But, you know, he still went back and shushed Jeb Bush and did this, you know, it's just this nasty stuff that, you know, that if I don't like you or don't like what you say, you know, I insult you. And it just continues on. I don't know. I think there could be a big surprise out of New Hampshire. I really do. I just don't know. They usually deliver a surprise. And so let's see what happens tomorrow.
That tactic reminds me of Dick Cheney, and I remember back when Dick Cheney was vice president, and I had this happen to me. It's of the ilk, well, if you don't agree with me, you're anti-American, you're anti-patriotic, and I had that happen to me in school at a faculty meeting. Well, if you don't agree with me, then obviously you're against kids. Why are you teaching? And I hate that tactic. I just don't like it. And the other thing was Ted Cruz, his misunderstanding or misstating of what carpet bombing is mind-boggling to me. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see what I have to think that the people in New Hampshire who were paying attention will make this a really interesting show tomorrow night.
I know what it was. I'm sorry. Here it is. So the question is the questioner asked Ted Cruz, these are the words that you said. And like you're saying, the mistruths that he says about different people, such as the one that comes to mind, though it may not be the most important one, is that Trump is for single-payer health care. In other words, more with what Bernie Sanders is saying beyond what Obamacare does. Now, Trump is not for that. I mean, I don't think he's never said that. You know, that he might have said something like that 30 years ago, But in the campaign, he's not for that. And Cruz continues to say that.
Yeah.
And yet, and so now he's given an opportunity. He's standing right next to Trump to reiterate that. And he chooses to not answer that question, basically. That, to me, at least, you know what I'm saying, at least some others go face to face and have and respect you to, if this is what I'm said, I'll say it again, and here's what I mean by it. While Cruz just backs down, it's, I mean, I don't know what that means, but it, I mean, he's not standing up in the debate for himself, and he's had two very poor debates the last two times, and out on the campaign trail, I mean, I think the guy is dishonest, to be honest with you.
Oh, I have that feeling also, and it just, you know, I'm an undecided voter all across the board, but I can tell you as someone who does pay attention, and I'm just, what I'm looking for, Bill, is a little logic, and I'm looking for, you know, obviously experience, but I'm not looking for the attack hate language. I just don't like it, and I think Christie was involved in that too when he talked about hostages and the America's policy toward hostages, and he totally lied about what the policy is. Nothing to do with what he was talking about. So you take, you know, Christie and Cruz and Rubio and Trump. I guess there are four of them I could scratch off my list.
Yeah, well, anyway, and over on the Democratic side now, here's one other thing here, Rick. Now, Hillary Clinton, I watched this Sunday morning. I do tend to watch the Sunday shows if I can. And the Sunday shows, and Hillary was interviewed, and she was in a nasty kind of mood. I don't know if George Stephanopoulos interviewed her. I think that's the show she was on. But they did follow up, and they asked her an abortion question, and she seemed very put off by it. And I give them credit for asking that question, because they threw abortion at the Republican candidates, and so fair is fair, I think. And they did that on one of the Sunday shows. But then she just seemed to be in a nasty mood and kind of upset at Bernie Sanders and so on. So we'll see what happens. And then she goes to Michigan yesterday for the water crisis out there. I get that. That's a horrible situation. But here you are, you know, now she'll have an excuse when she doesn't win on Tuesday in New Hampshire that I had to solve the water crisis out in Flint, Michigan. But anyways, we'll see what happens there on the Democratic side. For at least the voting has started. I guess that means the clock has started and the game will eventually end at some point.
And it's it makes for a great show, I guess, you know, and we'll just see where it goes. But I am absolutely baffled at how people perform in public who are aspiring for the world's most powerful position.
Yeah. All right. That should do it for us here on the program. So, you know, again, you got the Broncos winning the Super Bowl, Lynn Classical Girls winning a big basketball game Saturday over Revere, our broadcast game yesterday, Wakefield winning in overtime over Melrose in boys basketball, and we'll keep you posted on the storm and other things during the day today. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, and this is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.